Please pray with me. Loving God, may we preach the gospel at all times. And if words are needed, may they be inspired by our triune God, who is divine love. Amen. Our gospel today reflects a continuation of Jesus' journey along the Galilean countryside. His audience were mostly Jews, and their current reality was one in which they felt the yoke of economic and legal and social oppression and marginalization. They yearned for freedom, for God's promise to their ancestors to be realized, that a Messiah would come and free them from their present reality. This man that they had heard about, Jesus, ignites their curiosity. He preaches and teaches not only with his words, but more so with his actions, about the kingdom of God that is in stark contrast to their current reality. They see Jesus healing people, exorcising demons, teaching with credibility and authority. He astonishes and disturbs many by his welcoming, his touching, and his eating with those who have been ostracized and excluded from community. For example, the tax collectors, the Jewish collaborators, women, the unclean, those who have been designated unclean by Jewish law. I can imagine that there might have been those questioning who he was. Might this itinerant preacher be the Messiah, whom God promised to our ancestors centuries ago? Might he be the one who was promised to come and free us and usher in the kingdom of God? For those who are truly hearing him, he is sowing seeds of hope for a different tomorrow. He teaches of a kingdom that is defined by radical hospitality, by diversity, by equality, by inclusion, by justice, and the kind of love that is freely given, expecting nothing in return. But there are also those who are in opposition to his teachings, those who feel threatened, who believe that his teachings will negatively impact their authority or privileged existence, those who are entrenched in centuries-old interpretations of Mosaic law. When confronted by the Jewish authorities, Jesus reaches back into their shared history, quotes scripture, and reminds them of the teachings given to their ancestors. Teachings to give them hope, teachings to bring them back to a righteous path when they have strayed, and teachings and admonitions of the prophets. Jesus' ministry was all about proclaiming the will and commandments of the Holy One, to love God and neighbor, showing them ways to do that, showing them who the neighbor really is, and to juxtaposition that with the present reality of those in that environment who are marginalized. The parable of the sower provides a setting that most of the crowd listening to Jesus could relate to. For many of them are farmers, and they understand the challenges in working the land. Taken literally, they might be astonished at the lack of preparation for seeding their fields. They might be asking themselves, who is this sower? For Jesus does not identify who the sower is in the parable. Who would be so careless and wasteful? They know the challenges of getting crops to harvest. They know about rocky soil and birds and other critters, weeds and climate, diminishing the yield of the harvest. They know that they must be attentive, diligent, exercise care, and be responsive to the unexpected. They know that sowing seeds is hard work. Hard work. What is Jesus really trying to say with this parable to the people then and to us now? Those members of the crowd who had been following Jesus knew that he frequently used metaphors and analogies to tell a story, to do a teaching. I would imagine that many who initially heard this parable understood what Jesus meant, that Jesus himself was the sower. His message describing the kingdom of God, the good news of Jesus, was the seed. And the good news provided the deep roots within the fertile soil of our minds and hearts, and the unbelievable harvest is the glorious expansion of believers, of Jesus followers, a fruitful call to discipleship. A wonderful characteristic of parables is that they are not one-dimensional stories. They are multi-layered. They have a lifespan across time and space, being interpreted in a way that makes sense for the people hearing them in their present reality. They invite these different interpretations, different wonderments in different communities. Because the body of Christ is not homogeneous, we are diverse in every way. Parables are meant to disrupt our comfort levels, to disrupt the assumptions we made about what the needs are of the people within our community, to disrupt our sense of power and how it is used. They are meant to have us interrogate ourselves both individually and as communities of Jesus followers. Perhaps this parable was inviting the early disciples and those that followed to consider that we can all be sowers, those of us who have confessed Jesus as the Messiah. We can all be sowers, evangelists, not a word commonly used in the Episcopal Church, but we can be evangelists who spread seeds abundantly and generously build up the communion of Jesus' followers amongst all the nations, wherever we go. for we too have been called to the Great Commission to be disciples, to go out and make disciples and to bring disciples to Jesus. As we mature in our discipleship, to gain a sense that we are not just one of those seeds, As we mature in our relationship, we gain a sense that we are not just one of these seeds, nor are we just one kind of soil. We are all of these seeds where they fall. And we're each type of soil at one time or another. As we grow as seeds in each type of soil, sometimes we find ourselves in soil that nourishes us, in soil that continues to feed our spiritual growth, and sometimes we get detoured and find ourselves around the thorns and the weeds and the rocks. The key is knowing that this will happen on our journeys, and knowing that we don't journey alone. We have sisters and brothers journeying with us. And if you don't think you do, then we need to find another community of faith where they are. And God is always present and surrounds us with divine love and guidance when we stumble or get detoured along the way. Having receptive hearts open to the whisperings of the Spirit, igniting that divine spark that is within each of us, is crucial to our discipleship in bringing people to life in Christ Jesus. So in our present reality, what else might this parable be telling us or inviting us into? Might this parable allude to the tension and divisions that currently exist within our country, within our world? The challenges of the marginalized in our communities, the need to address and dismantle racism, the need to address gun violence, human trafficking, drug trafficking, the need to be advocates for equitable treatment of everyone under the law. Might there also be an invitation to wonder how this parable is interpreted by groups of people who have been othered? Indigenous people, people of African, Latino, Asian, Middle Eastern descent, women, people who identify as LGBTQIA. Might this parable be an invitation for us to learn history that we may not have been taught, and to listen and hear experiences and perspectives that are different than our own? My friends, I grew up in segregation. I know what it feels like to be oppressed. I have a different life experience than many of you. I am perfectly willing to share. Perhaps imagining ourselves in different roles or groups that have been othered, asking ourselves questions in those roles. Imagine if I were someone who got secondhand books imagine if I were someone who was racially profiled. Imagine if I was someone who was picked up by ICE for no reason other than the way I talk, the way I look. Asking ourselves those questions are God's invitations to wonder with an open heart and mind as different beings in different incarnations in God's creation. And it's hard. It's hard work. Perhaps even wondering as a child whose mind and heart sees and receives information differently, who ask 1,000 questions when they see something they don't understand, who haven't formed their own internal biases yet. I know my mother used to say, just do as I say, if she couldn't figure out an answer to a question that I had for her. And my dad would really try. Give up. Beloved, all Jesus followers are called to discipleship. We are called to continuous learning and discernment, to looking back in history, to understand the journeys of our ancestors, our spiritual leaders, and the prophets, both ancient and modern, to internalize and echo their wisdom, their learnings, especially when we take a detour from being exemplars of Jesus' love. For we have all erred and strayed like lost sheep. There is a concept in African spirituality called Sankofa, which literally means to retrieve, to go back and get. It is typically represented by a bird with a long neck looking behind them while they're going forward. And it is associated with the proverb, which when translated means, it is not wrong to go back for that which has happened and which you may have forgotten. It is not wrong to reflect on the past, to build a future, that's characteristic is Jesus' love spreading throughout the world. Amen.